I have to begin with a word of hisnatfus, a word of justification or excuse. The truth is that the people who are fit to address us on such a weighty topic as the Holocaust, as the Churban of Europe, are primarily those people who experienced it, the survivors, those who lived through the terrible torture and tell us of what they experienced. Alternatively, those who weren't there per se, but lived through that time, experienced the hardships of Klal Yisrael, were nosei ba'ol, did what they could to ameliorate and lessen the pain. Or perhaps those who have researched extensively, found profound insights into the process that led to and the existence of and what it was, the story of the Holocaust. I'm not really from any of those categories. But perhaps to the contrary, exactly because I'm not, so I speak to you as an equal. I was born after the Holocaust, obviously, and not only was I, my parents were born after the Holocaust. So I, like you, am in a position of, I would say, risk. We are getting further and further from it, and we run the risk of, if not forgetting, at least failing to identify. It's a new time, a new generation, and we run the risk of forgetting somewhat the lessons that can be gleaned from the study of the Churban of European Jewry, and therefore there are certain lessons that I think we must bear in mind. Today, of course, is Atzeret B'Teves, a day which really marks the beginning of Churban. There was no calamity, no tragedy per se on Atzeret B'Teves. It was the beginning of the Churban, a process that took years. But nevertheless, it was the beginning of the end. And when people study the Holocaust, we also look for the beginning. We study about the Nuremberg Laws, the Kristallnacht, other instances, events that were the beginning of the process, and we try then, therefore, to piece it together, and therefore a significant parallel. To try to understand the Churban of Europe in its entirety, I think for us it's really impossible. The enormity of it, the severity of it, is more than we can comprehend, but there are very important lessons that we can derive from it. And I just want to talk to you really about one theme, and that really is to recognize rishus, to recognize evil. We live in a closed environment. We may think that we don't, but we do. We exist among people who are fairly similar to us. So I see somebody who's a little bit more of a Baal Chesed than me, someone a little bit less perhaps, but we live within a very limited range. And we therefore project that onto the rest of the world. We have a very narrow view of the world. We therefore think that when we hear of something that sounds like an atrocity, it sounds terribly cruel, terribly evil, we often say that person is sick, that person is insane, because it's impossible for us to fathom. We could never do that. And therefore we think that anybody who did must be out of his mind. It's illness, sickness. But this is not true. Unfortunately, one of the things we have to recognize is that there is rishus in the world. There is evil. We, Baruch Hashem, don't relate to it. But there is rishus in the world. There are thousands and thousands of people today who are only too eager to destroy when they see people living peacefully. Men, women, and children, they wish they could destroy it. We're not strangers to terrorism. We know what's happening now in the world. And unfortunately, it's a reality. And Chazal tell us, HaKol B'Shvil Yisrael. We really are at the epicenter of the great sinna in the world, the great hatred. Chazal say that Har Sinai, one of the allusions in the name Sinai is, it's an allusion to sinna. Sin and asamach are often interchangeable. Sinna, hatred. Shemisham yarda sinna la'olam. From Har Sinai came hatred to the world. Because we have a Torah, because we are a moral entity, the world hates us. Klal Yisrael is a reminder to the world that there's a Torah, that there's Torah and mitzvahs. And because of that, Misham yarda sinna la'olam. there's a hatred, and as we know from studying what goes on in the global arena, that really a lot of the hatred that exists in the world is ultimately really focused or revolves around the existence of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we need to do a little bit of a Hashevosa El Levavecha. There are a lot of things we know intellectually about the Holocaust. We know the numbers, we know the basic story, but we don't really know it. And the truth is, if we were to know it fully, we wouldn't be able to live. We wouldn't be able to exist. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Rachamim makes it that a person can know something intellectually without really internalizing it, otherwise it would be too much to bear. But there is a medium. There is a degree of greater empathy, understanding things more from an emotional perspective without becoming despondent, without it registering too deeply that we cannot function. And that's much of what we have to do. Halacha ki yadua, Esav shonat Yaakov. It's a reality that Esav hates Yaakov. The sinner that exists for Klal Yisrael is something that always has been, but it's something that we have to think about. And what this should do is rouse us to identify with the needs of Klal Yisrael. You're all at an age where you begin to think about life's path. What do I want for my life? A person could say, I hope to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. I'm certainly not going to do Averis. I'm going to lead what we call a frum lifestyle. But do we really identify? Do we want to do something for Klal Yisrael? Do I just want to live in peace and comfort? Or do I want to do something for Klal Yisrael? Do I relate to the needs of Klal Yisrael? The more we study the hardships that our people have experienced, the more I hope that we will feel a sense of urgency, of wanting to be poel, to do something for the nation of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Beryl Wine tells a beautiful story, a painful story, but a beautiful story. A good number of years ago, there was a father who brought his son to his yeshiva in Muncie and said, I want my son to come to yeshiva. And Rabbi Wine saw that the father was not firm at all, was not a religious person, and he was very taken that this father was very insistent that his son come to the yeshiva. So after the interview and so on, he asked him, you know, I'm curious, why do you have such strong feelings that you want your son to come to yeshiva? And he told him a story. He said, when I was very young, I was in Russia, there was a time, I don't know exactly the circumstances, but the man told the story, there was a time when they rounded up all the town's Jews who had a bris milah, and they were taken away and never heard from. He said, and I swore to myself then that my family would never perform the mitzvah of milah. I saw this terrible incident, and I swore I wanted no part of it. He said, but then I came to Eretz Yisrael, and different people worked on me, and they talked me into it, and I gave my son a bris milah. He said, now that he has a milah, if they ever come to round him up, I want him to know what he's going to die for. Now that he's in the boat, now that he's part of Klal Yisrael, I want him to understand who he is. We're in the boat. When we study the things you're going to learn about today, that's us. That's Klal Yisrael. That's all of us here. Rabbi Yonason Rosenblum, who's a famous journalist, the Talmud Chacham, has written many books on Gedolei Yisrael. So he has a number of different sorts of articles. He has one article, I think it's called On the Fence at Yale. It's a personal reflection, how he became frum. He tells a story, he was in Yale Law School, and he used to go on Sundays to play basketball in an outdoor court. So one Sunday he got up, he was playing basketball on the court there, and as they were playing, so the Chabad came in and they set up a table where they would put tefillin on people. They asked, are you Jewish? We know the shluchim go out, and if somebody was Jewish, they'd ask him if he'd be willing to put on tefillin. And they used to do this frequently. So on this particular Sunday, he was playing basketball, and he finished playing, and he saw these guys there with their tefillin. It bothered him so much that he climbed the fence. He didn't want to walk past them. He didn't want them to nudge him. He climbed the fence on the other side. There was a barbed wire fence, and he slipped. He was climbing over the fence, and he slipped, and he got caught by his shirt on the barbed wire. And he writes, you have to see the way he wrote it in the article. He says, as I was dangling there, looking at Yale University, dangling helplessly for a few seconds until he could catch his balance, he says, it occurred to me, if being Jewish, if observing mitzvahs, is something that I'm so crazy to avoid that I'm willing to look like such an idiot. such a fool to avoid it. Maybe it's something I should look into. If it's something that we run away from, and by the same token, if it's something that others are rodef after, they pursue us for it, they torture us for it, that should give us a greater sense of identifying with it. Kasher ya'anu oso ken yirba v'chen yifrod. The more the Mitzrayim persecuted Klal Yisrael, we responded not by shying away, but becoming stronger, becoming greater. So therefore, I hope that from today's lessons, what we will walk away with is a greater sense of identifying with the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe throughout the Torah, the name that was given to him by Bas Paro. Rav Hirsch points out he should have been called Moshui, the one who was drawn. Kimen Hamayim Mishisihu, I drew him out of the water. So Moshe Rabbeinu should be called Moshui, the drawn one. Moshe is a verb, to draw. Says Rav Hirsch, Moshe Rabbeinu was to be reminded every time his name was called, Moshe, Moshe, that he was the one who was drawn out of the water. Everyone, all the other boys his age didn't survive. But he was drawn out of the water, and therefore he has to be Moshe. He has to draw others out of the water. If he survived at a time when others did not, he has to respond by having a sense of mission, helping others. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was born on Zion Adar, and always said of himself that he identified with Moshe Rabbeinu, he felt that way. Many, many of his contemporaries, many of his siblings, were killed, didn't survive, there were pogroms and other hardships of Klal Yisrael, and he felt, people used to ask him why Rav Moshe Feinstein was always willing to help. He called them at any hour of the day with the most insignificant of problems. He always answered, even though he was tired, he was busy with all the needs of Klal Yisrael. People would ask him why he does that. Protect yourself, protect your time a little bit. He said he felt his whole existence is for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Moshe, Moshe, ki min hamayim mishisihu. I think the same way we fail to recognize that there's true evil in the world, there's true rishus, by the same token we fail to recognize the extent of the good that exists in the world. The Balei Musar, Rabbi Yisrael Talanta, they would always talk about a pasuk, Adam biyakar velo yavin. Man stands in glory, but he doesn't understand it. Nimshal behemos nidnu. He likens himself to an animal. Right? Many people in the world think that man is a sophisticated animal. He's an animal with greater intelligence. That's, of course, a terrible mistake. Yochanan Wasserman used to say that Darwin could think that man evolved from a monkey because Darwin only knew men like Darwin. If Darwin knew someone like the Chafetz Chaim, he would not have thought that man evolved from a monkey. We have much greater potential, not only in intellect, but in ruchnius, in Torah and Chesed, than we realize. The same way we fail to understand the depths that rishus can sink to, we fail to understand the height that tzidkus can achieve in each and every one of us. The Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam talks about that the whole idea of Tshuva is predicated on the understanding that man has free will. There are schools within the thoughts of psychology that man, every person is destined to be the way he is. Behaviorist psychology, there are some who believe that a person is destined to be evil, destined to be a tzaddik. This is absolutely untrue. The Rambam says every person could be a rasha like Yeravim ben Nevat, the evil melech, or could be a tzaddik ki Moshe. Those are the Rambam's words. A tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't say a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, that we can't be. But a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, every person can be. And the same way we don't understand rishus, we don't understand our own potential for tzidkus. The Chassam Sofer explains, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Taanios, that the reason for a tainus is to do tshuva. It's midarkei hatshuva. The fifth parak of Hilchos Tanis, the Rambam says this. Says the Chassam Sofer, we learn a profound lesson here. We would have thought that a Tanis is a day of mourning. It's a day of avelus. Terrible things happened. A terrible thing happened on a Aser B'Teves. But that's not really what the Tanis is about. We don't live in the past for the sake of living in the past. We analyze the past for the sake of what it means for the future. It's to rouse us to tshuva. We don't really have commemorations for the sake of commemorations. We have a commemoration because of what it drives us to do in the future. The institution of a Tanis is because it's midarkei hatshuva. Otherwise, says the Chassam Sofer, Chazal would never have instituted the whole concept of Tanis. And the Rambam writes very famously in the beginning of Hilchos Taanios, he says that a person is supposed to think about the events that led to the tragedy and therefore rouse himself to tshuva. But if we don't capitalize on the Taanis to cry out to Hashem, what happened was just nature. Things happen. Whatever tragedy happened, that's because that's the way of the world. But Sarazu, Mikra, if it just happened, it was just a Mikra. So he says, Hareze Derech Achzarius. This is the way of Achzarius. Achzarius means cruelty. And Achzar is a cruel person. How is it cruel? If I fail to understand that a Tanis is supposed to rouse me to tshuva, so maybe I'm not doing tshuva, but why am I cruel? So the Mefarshim explained the word Achzar is really from two words. Ach, zar, but estrangement. There's a pasuk in the Perek Yud Tes in Iyov. Achai me alai herchik, my brethren have distanced themselves from me. V'yodai ach zaru mimeni. And those who know me, those who are close to me, ach zaru mimeni. Alas, they have become strangers, or zar is a stranger. They have estranged themselves from me. A person who is an achzar, who is cruel, ultimately, cruelty is about witnessing something and saying, that has nothing to do with me. That's not my problem. I live in a different time, in a different place. As long as I'm protected, as long as I'm safe, ach zaru mimeni, I distance myself from that. That is the kernel of being an achzar, of being a cruel person. Therefore, says the Rambam, is miderech achzarius. If we have a tanis, a day when we reflect on the past, on the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, and we fail to identify with it, we fail to relate to it, so that is a trait of achzarius, and therefore what we have to do today is capitalize on the emotions that arouse within us and the history that we study to identify with Klal Yisrael. I think this is a very esteemed and accomplished group of people that I'm addressing, and we have to realize that we're very, very privileged. You study the Holocaust, you have to think about how many schools that look like this, how many communities, look at our Philadelphia community, how many communities were eliminated, where there was hardly a survivor, there's hardly anyone even to tell the story of many places, and how many more we would be, how much larger, just in numbers, Klal Yisrael would be, if for so many decades, if the Churban of Europe hadn't happened, and therefore every person who survives must identify, must relate to the core of Klal Yisrael. Kimin Hamayim Mishisiyu. If we're here, each one of us has to view ourselves as 100 people, as 1,000 people. It's not enough to say, I'm going to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. That itself is a lofty goal, but I am confident we all will achieve that. But we have to go beyond that. We have to want to do things for Klal Yisrael. And it's not a question of how talented you are. It's about how big the heart is. It's not the one who gets a higher grade or a lower grade. We have to try our best. But the one who has the biggest heart, ultimately, is the one who can do the most for Klal Yisrael. Just conclude with a thought I once heard about 4 years ago from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Zelig Epstein, who does not engage in homiletics and drushes. When he says a pshat, it's what he believes is the emes. He's commented on Vayechi Yaakov. This is a parsha stuma. This week's parsha begins closed. Says Rashi, because Yaakov Avinu wanted to be Megala the Kates. He wanted to talk about the end of time, the ultimate Geula V'nistam Imenu. And it was hidden from him. Rav Zelig said, Yaakov Avinu was able to see the future, to see all of the tzaras of Klal Yisrael and to somehow understand them, even what we can't understand. But then there came a time where he saw darkness and he couldn't see the light beyond it. Nistam Imenu. That was this past dark. The darkness of the Churban of Europe, European Jewry, the darkness of the Shoah of the Holocaust is so difficult to see beyond that Nistam Imenu, he couldn't see the case beyond it. But next week's Haftarah, Navi Yeshaya says, HaBoyim Yashrish Yaakov. Days are coming. Boyim means a Yamin Boyim. Days are coming when Yashrish Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu will be reestablished. You look at the end of that Haftarah, there's a message of hope. What Yaakov Avinu couldn't see, we are seeing. We're seeing the rebuilding. We're seeing the reconstitution of Klal Yisrael from the ashes of Auschwitz. And that is a tremendous message of hope, and every person has to feel a part of it. And this is a lesson from a Yom Tanis, and especially it's particularly appropriate to make a Tanis today when we focus on the Limud, on the study of the Holocaust. What we should take from that is to identify with Klal Yisrael. We said in Slichos today, Sararti Poshati Yigala Li Tova. Even though I have sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Megala to me His Tov. HaOmer LaYom Ad Po Sava. The one who says to the sea, only till here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the water, you can't flood the earth. It ends here. We are reading in the Chumash the beginning of the Golos Mitzrayim. Asar B'Tavis is the beginning of Golos after we were in Umma. These are the beginnings of Golos. But we hope that the time that we are living in should be the end of Golos. We should see the end of the water. We saw the beginning of the flood. Now we should live mit Hashem to see the end of it. And I hope everyone will take a lesson from today's very important session in Yasher Koach for the organizers of this important program. I hope we will draw a great lesson from it to relate to the needs of Klal Yisrael in Torah and in Chesed and mit Hashem and that's chus. We should see the Geulah Shleimah B'Mehera V'Yameinu.